Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
All of us at Podcast One want to say thank you for listening to this show. We would also like to ask a small favor of you. It'll take less than 10 minutes, and if you're one of the first few people to fill out the survey, we'll give you something for your time. We would like you to complete a short survey for us to help make things better around here. Just go to listeningsurvey.com, and everything will be right there for you. That's listeningsurvey.com. The first 125 people to go and complete this survey will get a $10 gift certificate to restaurant.com, and there is a chance to win an additional $100 Amazon gift card. Filling out the survey will really help us out. Go to listeningsurvey.com, and thanks for listening.
You ever find out you live in a bad neighborhood by watching a movie? I saw Training Day with Denzel Washington. I was like, wait a minute, that's my house right there. I live next door to Denzel's girlfriend. What the fuck? I mean, that's all right. I made it through. The toughest thing that ever really happened to me in that neighborhood was somebody tried to break in the car with me in the car. Like, I dozed off. I was asleep. Just late at night, you know. You think you're going to say something tough when somebody violates you like that? The most gangster thing I could think of, they woke me up out of my sleep. I was like, hey, somebody's in here. I'm in here. Hey.
Vanessa Mitchell on the Adam Carolla Show.
Vanessa Mitchell in studio. The Spirit told me to tell you. It's available now on Showtime and Showtime anytime. And I watch it. It was very funny. It's all now on Showtime. I think Absolutely. I saw it last week before I even knew Vanessa was coming in here. So good job.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for coming
Damn,
in.
That makes me feel good.
It's nice. As a comedian... Or as anybody, I think you work hard at your stuff, and you just mm-hmm. want people to look at it and yep. go, "It was good."
Yeah,
all right.
I'm the same
it.
Way.
And I don't care if it's lasagna or comedy. Mm-hmm. We just want someone to say, "Good job."
Yes,
good job.
Thank you. Very proud.
I have so many questions. I was very intrigued about you walking on at Miami and being there when Warren Sapp was there and Dwayne the Rock Johnson was there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have free safety cornerback?
Yeah.
Walking on, Miami's quite a school to walk on.
It was a mm-hmm. powerhouse back then.
Yeah. Got a picture of you and Dwayne.
Yep. Wow.
Now, he got hurt, so he's bummed that he's not playing in this Cotton Bowl. Where we beat Texas 1,001-3.
You must have been a really good high school player, but then why walk on at Miami?
Because Miami didn't offer this. I wanted to go to Miami.
Uh-huh.
So it was one of those things where I'm like, I'll just go down to where the best is and just whoop everybody's ass, you know. And that didn't happen, but I did walk on and make the team.
It's incredible.
You know? Yeah, you know, and at the time there were offers because I played, like I said, high school football in Atlanta. But Miami Vice was such a dope show when I was young.
Impressionable.
Impressionable. And Miami was kicking people's butts. And I was like, I want to go to Miami.
Where does one at that tender age of 18 or whatever you were get the as your people would say, chutzpah, to go down from Atlanta to Miami and just go walk on to one of the best programs mm-hmm. in the world. Like, I love all the things you get from football, all the discipline, and I want to talk about how that serves you now, but just walking on.
Yeah. None of my people have ever said chutzpah.
Oh. Oh, it's Gina's people.
Okay, yes. That was confusing. I thought you were
Sorry.
Right on that.
Sorry,
but you know what, brother? I have... Adam, all I can say is that I wanted to compete with the best. I feel like I've done everything I wanted to try to do, even just saying I want to grab the mic for open mic night. I was just trying to impress a girl. Mm-hmm. I was at the Miami Coconut Grove Improv. I don't know if you ever played there back in the day, but
Probably.
Down in the Miami Improv. And we all had drink tickets and, you know, free pass. No, we had free passes. We all invited girls. It was about five of us. But then there was like, there's a two... drink minimum, and we didn't know nothing about that. So we were all looking at each other like, this is about to get expensive. And the girls were like, we'll have some Hennessy. We said, like, oh, here they go. And we
right.
And so he said, if you whoever had the best joke, we take care of your two drink minimum and just enjoy it. We were like, and everybody looked at me like, finesse. take one for the team. Like, you the funniest out of all of us. And I always thought I was conversational funny. And that's what I had learned, you know, going up there and doing that open mic, that it's a totally different world, going from conversational funny to just being the only person, you know, on the mic. But the joke killed. The guy, Adam, whispered in my ear after that, and the crowd was reacting. He said, "You know what? I don't know if you do this, but you should start making plans to do this, because I think you got what it take." He said, "You ever did it?" I said, "No." He said, "Keep coming back." Oh. I don't know why. I just started going to the Coconut Grove Improv.
Well, now we got
to
hear the joke.
Oh, you don't want to hear that corny joke.
What are you talking about? The one that won the Hennessy?
Man, so I'm sitting there listening to this lady in the back of the room heckle everybody. She was already drunk. So every time somebody said something, every now and then, she'd go, "Ah, ah, ah, ah." And the host would come on after a comic and say, "Hey, you know, you do it one more time, we're going to have to." Because he said everything he could have said about it. He talked about her, her mama, her kids, everybody. She wouldn't shut up. So sure enough, another comic, another open mic, ah, 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 and she did it again. So now it's time for the joke contest. He says, anybody who got the best joke, win a free bottle of champagne, 2-drink minimum. 3 people went up. I was the 3rd person. This girl who went in front of me, the 1st person was corny. The girl who went in front of me, she had a pretty good joke. She put a dollar bill in her belt buckle and let it hang out. And she said, "Okay, everybody, what's this?" And everybody said, "What?" She said, "All you can eat for under a dollar."
Oh, that's good.
And everybody hollered. That's good. Yeah. And I'm sitting there like, damn!
Yeah.
Because I didn't really have a joke. I thought I was just going to be silly. So he gave me the mic. He said, "All right, what's your name?" I said, "Finesse." He said, "All right, Finesse. Well, you better be Finesse if that's your name. Here we go." And I said, "All right, people, I don't know how many of y'all went to public school, but you know they got a different alarm for every type of, you know, disaster they want you to prepare for. So if it's a tornado drill, you hear the ring, 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 and we know what to do. And if you hear the, and that was South Florida, if you get a hurricane drill, you hear the and, you know what to do." I said, "But for our fire drill, we didn't have a bell. We just had that drunk bitch in the back going, and the
nice.
Whole crowd
That's good.
Hollered.
That's good.
And so he looked at me like, "You just made that up." I was like, "Yep."
He knew you had to. Like the dollar bill joke could have. She could have got that from anywhere or done it 100 times.
Yeah, that was a stocky joke.
Real-time crowd work.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That's worth some Hennessy.
I'm curious. I love, you know, you talked about like you wanted to play where the best program, the U, mm-hmm. in the early 90s. I'm always curious because it's funny, like when I see like UFC fighters and like it's after the fight. And they'll like call out another fighter and they'll go, "Why this guy? You know, he's an animal. He's a terror." And they go, "I want to fight the best." And I always think to myself, I have the exact opposite. When it comes to fighting, I want the drunkest and in the worst shape. And right. I want to fight the worst.
A win's a win. Whether it's a 14-year-old kid in high school or.
Right. And so there's a thing where some guys are wired like they really. And you always go, "Oh, come on. Is that bullshit or whatever?" But you see these guys in the UFC and you're like, "I want this guy. Because mm-hmm. he's such a badass and he's such an ass kicker, mm-hmm. and that's why I want to fight him." And I think, but why? You've seen what he's done to everyone else, and mm-hmm. there's some gene.
Yes.
It's really rare.
Gina, because listen.
Everyone else has the, "I do not want that wrecking machine." Yeah. But once in a blue moon, there's that guy who wants that, or that girl who wants that thing. I don't know where it comes from. Do you have, you must
I think
have,
I have
that.
I have that gene.
Was that instilled? Is there a nature versus nurture?
I think what it is that I was a star running back all my Pee Wee League years. Then my middle school years. Then I had a knee injury that sidelined me for a year. And when I came back from rehab, because my mom didn't get me the correct surgery. So when I basically rehabbed myself, I wasn't as fast. I lost that edge on the game, but I was still fast.
Mm.
But there was blazing speed, and then there was just like, "Oh, he's fast."
Oh,
and so when it was time for me to graduate, and I was looking at all these different schools, I just said, "I've been doing with the best since I was 6."
Can I make this observation?
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. You don't notice it, or you don't think back on it until you have a 12-year-old son. Where it's like, I talk to him and he gives me like the rankings of who's the fastest in his grade mm-hmm. and then who's, and I'll go like, "How about Tim? Tim's fat, medium fast." Like being fast is the boy version of being hot.
Wow.
For a chick. It's like some sort of God just makes you either hot or fast. God, you know, being
that's
in
crazy.
Shape
I
and
never
everything.
Thought of that. That's
but,
true.
But it is. It's a
especially
kind of,
in school.
It's like a kind of celebrity. Yeah. You get a kind of a confidence. Yep. You're kind of popular. If you're the fastest kid in your high school, junior high, it's like being the hottest chick.
Right.
And it's all arbitrary. It's like it's just you don't train to be fast when you're 14. You're just fast or you're slow or you're just hot or you're just not. And mm-hmm. and maybe because it's maybe the things in life that you know, I'm an atheist, but I'll just say for argument that the thing that God bestows on you, like you just randomly go nature, God or whoever goes, make her hot. Make him fast. In a weird way, people are awe. They're more awe of it because playing the piano really well is pretty good, but you had to work really hard for that. This was just touched by the hand of God.
Piano ain't everywhere.
And you work you work just as hard to be fast as you do at being hot when you're 13, which is zero amount of work. You just are, and everyone is sort of in awe of you. So being fast is probably like your initial self-esteem, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But
when you're young like that and you're fast and you realize you're faster than – when you race from pole to pole or streetlight to streetlight as kids and you keep coming in first and then everybody's like, oh, he fast. It's almost like dog fighting. You go to other neighborhoods like, you want to race finesse?
Right. We got a guy.
So now you're going from neighborhood to neighborhood racing kids. But there's nothing like grade school and then especially junior high and high school. If you the fast guy, you either the fast guy or your parents bought you a dope car. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, those are two things.
Those
but
are two
still,
things.
The car, you still go, dad bought that or mom bought that. And it's not touched by God. I argue. There's still a little more respect and love for fat. And it's also weird, speaking as a guy who's slow, no matter how hard you try, you can't be fast. Like, you'll do a thing where you go, we're racing again. Come on. And now you have this thing
complex.
Where it's like, I'm going to grit it. Like, yep. I'm somehow just going to will
it.
My way to do it. And the person just runs right. They just run right past you again. This half of the show brought to you by LifeLock, LifeLock.com. Enter Adam and BetOnline, BetOnline.ag. Enter podcast one. So fast is good. That's good for young finesse, self-esteem, physical ability and all that.
I was very impressionable. I really was. I'm telling you, I shit you not, Miami Vice was probably 60% of the decision-making factor of me just wanting to go and see the city, me just wanting to be down in my – I've been around black and white all my life. I've been in Atlanta all my life. If you're a Braves fan, you're a Dale Murphy, Bob Horner, and Phil Negro, TBS, Gordon Solie, and NWA Wrestling. Like, our life was very structured. And I said, this is my chance to get out. I don't want to go to Auburn. I don't want to go to Clemson. I didn't want to go to Georgia Tech.
You wanted to wear more linen.
I wanted to be around
no
a diverse group of people and just wear and just if I could get to that beach and wear those linen pants with the loafers and just sit there and have a lemonade. And
What's the process of walking on to a school like that? I mean,
back then Dennis Erickson was the coach. Craig Erickson was the quarterback. I think when I walked on, I came in July, and there was at least a good 45 of us. There was 45 dudes out there. And what it was basically was football agility test. It was almost like a combine, you know, the speed and all that. They had everything set up. And what really killed people was that, you know, they made you start from one end zone and race to, and go to the other end zone, and you had to do it under 15 seconds, which is not a problem. But then you had to do 10 of them. So by the time you got to the fifth one, like, people were throwing up, people were stopping.
It was July in Miami. Right?
Yeah. Right. And so it was just like, you know, and I completed. But at the end of everything, you know, I think we took like an hour off and changing and showering. When we came back up, they already had the names up there, and it was eight names.
Wow.
And that's all I knew. My name was number three. And I was like, holy shit, Mom.
Out of 45 guys.
Yeah. I was like, Mom, I'm a hurricane.
And playing time, special teams.
Special teams, and then just a lot of watching. But you know what? The actual playing time in practice against that group of guys, we had some major stars, you know, NFL stars come through that program.
So I guess sort
but,
of.
But, yeah.
Moral of the story.
The moral of the story is I should have went to West Virginia or or Wake Forest.
To see the field.
To see the field. But at the time, I will never say I regret ever being a Hurricane.
How many of those guys said they won a national championship?
Won in 91. Was supposed to win in 92. Man. Got kicked off the team because of grades. And then it was about graduation. But by that time, I felt like I was putting football behind me anyway, and it was time to move on.
Who are some of the
comedy?
You must have learned a lot of other teams' defenses, playing a scout team defense and such. Who are some of the offensive stars of that era? We all know, you know,
University of Miami.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to remember.
Or that was beyond.
That was after. Well, who you would have matched up against? You know what I mean? Like it was after Michael Irvin.
Right.
Right.
So there was this guy named Randall Hill who played for the Dolphins. Randall Thrill Hill. Mm-hmm. There was Lamar Thomas, Horace Copeland. I was on one of those teams where at least 16 people got drafted.
That's crazy.
But you were also playing teams that had some good names.
Absolutely. That was the Catholics versus Convicts back then.
Right.
We were going up against Rocket Ishmael and Rice, the quarterback, whatever his name was.
Tim Rice.
Yeah, and then Florida State and everybody who they had coming through the years. I mean, we really hated Florida State.
Yeah.
So that was my era, all those wide rights and wide lefts. You know, games being decided by under 2-3 points. It was
crazy.
Just a great time to be at Miami.
Let me jump in here, tell you guys about LifeLock for over 3 years, a software vulnerability. In the Google Plus social media network gave third-party developers potential access to almost 500,000 users' data. With your personal info from data exposure, criminals can open accounts, file tax returns, even buy property. There's so many threats in today's connected world. It's almost 2019, people. Just takes one weak link for criminals to get in. That's why you need LifeLock. New LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your identity and devices you cannot easily fix on your own. Let's protect ourselves, folks. Let's get LifeLock and get it for your family as well. LifeLock, right, Dawson?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses. But new LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LifeLock and use promo code Adam for an extra 10% off your first year, plus a $25 Amazon gift card with annual enrollment. That's promo code Adam. Terms apply.
He need a raise, Adam. That man need a raise. People, he just read that without one mistake, and he sounded just like the people on who do that for real, real.
He's very good.
Do you do that for real, real? Like, outside of this show? Like, you come on after an insurance commercial?
As much as I can, sometimes. Adam takes care of most of my pay, though.
Yeah.
I don't know about that dude, but you got to keep that one.
Yeah, you're right. All right. Brian, whatever I'm giving you, double it and give it to Dawson.
All right.
All right, should we do a little
20
news?
$20 coming your way, Dawson.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Let's do it, Gina Grad.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Eat news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, speaking of fast runners, the New York Marathon happened over the weekend, and we have the fastest man and fastest woman, their names right here.
I don't think people fully appreciate, like, the marathon.
Oh,
I
had a friend running it this year. She said, I've tried to get in the marathon 8 times. It is incredibly grueling.
You got to qualify to get in it?
Yes.
The thing about the marathon that I just don't...
Try one more time.
One more time.
Nine times. I don't think what people understand or fully appreciate. Like, I always think... I think people think those people are nuts. Mm. And if you ever wanted to forsake everything in your life and just run 10 miles every single morning like a maniac, they always look miserable.
Yeah, their nipples are chafing.
Mm-hmm. Nobody looks more miserable than a woman long distance runner. Like, the look on their face is like the dude in front of them has just been farting for like 4 miles. Like, that's like, oh God, it's so unfun. They're the exact opposite of the commercial the chicks are and the pedaling cycling commercials, like the hot workout chicks. But anyway,
Peloton, what's it called?
Peloton.
Yeah,
thank you. All right, so in order, and Max Patty, you can kind of back me up on this, but in order to run 26.2 miles in like 2 hours and 9 minutes or 7 minutes or whatever the record is, 5 or 6 or whatever it is.
You have to be Kenyan.
You got to be Kenyan. And you got to be averaging like 5 minutes or under a mile.
Yeah.
Now, anyone go out and see if you can run a half mile
at that pace
and see if you can average.
No,
let's just see if you can do two laps at the high school track at what these guys do, 26 miles. So these guys do, for, you know, they do 100 and something mm-hmm. laps at the high school track, mm-hmm. and the average pace is faster than you can do two laps or even yep. one lap. That's
easily.
Their average pace.
Yeah.
That's the nutty thing.
That's what it
Go
takes.
Try to do a mile in under 6 minutes, and I'll just find you by the trail of vomit that is leading to the bathroom. And that's what they do. What is the pace, Max? Is it into the fours?
Yeah, it's about a 4.9 minute mile.
Jeez. It's absurd.
So it's like 4:51 or something, or whatever.
Like a
4:55.
2-hour 10-minute marathon.
Right.
You're running about 4.95.
You're running 26 miles in the fours.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
Absurd. Right.
Well, this was Lalisa Desisa of Ethiopia.
Stop it.
Yeah, I can't stop and I won't.
Lalisa Desisa.
Won the men's division. And
a white
Mary,
woman.
No, Mary Kitani of Kenya.
What?
Won the women's. Now, the time is very close. The men, the man won 2 hours, 5 minutes, 59 seconds.
Wow, that is fast.
And let's see. I'm scrolling through something on my phone. I don't have it in front of me. 2 hours, 22 minutes, and 48 seconds for Kitani.
Do you window?
I feel like the ladies are gonna get to the guys.
What's good, the difference when it's running?
They're good for endurance, and they don't have junk. Like right in the hinge
dangling.
Part of your life. Trips you know what out. I mean? Like we've got a fucking tennis ball right in our door hinge. Mm-hmm. It's no good. Like, I mean, just the junk alone. You guys have a perfect, your parts are perfect for running. Our parts fly in the face of running.
Well, they have the boobs.
Yeah, you have.
That's the
worse.
Kenya chick
running with big boobs is worse.
Thank you.
Running with balls.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not a strength thing. It's not, you know, it's not boxing. It's not football. Whatever. Why is there a difference in terms
better.
Of endurance?
No,
okay.
Great.
I'm so glad I asked. Awesome. So Alec Baldwin denies punching anyone over a parking spot. According to news sources. This happened Friday in New York. The actor who was arrested and charged with assault and harassment tweeted the...
can we get back to this world? If somebody rear-ends your car and there's no damage to your car,
mm-hmm.
you cannot sue for a sprained neck or injured back. Or like, if somebody punched you in the face and there's mm-hmm. no mark on your face, then either you didn't get punched in the face or that guy was wearing an oven mitt or something. Like,
right.
I got to see a shiner. I need to see something.
You
can't be injured and not have a mark on your face if Alec Baldwin is a sturdily built man, and if he punched you in the face in earnest, you would have something wrong with your face.
He has the biggest hands and knuckles and fingers. I don't know why.
Oh, how many times did he guest host when you were at SNL?
He's probably there twice, but I just did the match game.
He
was like, hey, finesse! And he does the best Fred Sanford you ever did. Best Red Fox impression.
Wow.
But his hands are huge. If he hits you,
you'll know.
Yeah,
he's
a well-built guy with big parts.
Well, he said the allegation is false, and he added that it has become a sport to tag people with as many negative charges and defaming allegations as possible for the purposes of clickbait entertainment.
Hey, can I say this, too? When this person inevitably takes that picture of them with what may or may not be a black eye, don't try to sway me with sad face.
Yeah.
You have to have a neutral face. I want to make a judgment here. I don't want sad face. And is that a shiner? Right. Is that just
your point to it?
Didn't get enough sleep last night.
If anything, go smile. Because then you're going to really like, well, look how bad he looks. And he's smiling.
Yeah.
Yeah, if anything, go the other way.
But when we see, like, let's just say he walloped this guy. If he did wallop the guy would have a mouse, a shiner, a broken nose,
you'd
a bloody whatever. Like, you'd know it. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't he have then taken a quick shot and thrown that out to the world for the world to see?
As evidence,
I'm
sure,
pulling my phone out right there.
Right.
I'm pulling my phone out as I call you whatever I called you when I see the punch coming. You know what
right.
I mean? I'm already going into it like, this is Alec Baldwin. Where's my phone?
My phone.
Speaking of pulling your camera out, I should have sent it to Chris. A very homeless, very disturbed, shoeless, shirtless individual was running toward my car yesterday, and the cops were running after him with a green rifle and a green taser gun. And I pulled my phone out because I was so afraid this chase was going to end on my hood that I figured I just needed some evidence. But I'll put that up for you in a second.
Wow.
That was fun. That was on Fairfax. Welcome to L.A., everybody.
The thing we don't realize about the taser guns and the pepper spray and everything is that works fine on sane, sober people. But we never use them on sane, sober people. We use them on people that are beaked out of their brains on bath salts. And people are beaked out of their brains on bath salts are like those monsters that eat power cables so they can grow stronger. You know what I mean? Like, it never works.
No. Right.
So it's this gun that's perfect for guys that are minding their own business, but it's no good for the one thing you need it for, which is insane junkie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem to disable the junkie.
No, and the two guys running after them is a bit of an embellishment. They clearly thought this is just not much of a fight, so they were just doing sort of a courtesy jog behind them until they took them down. Mm. But I'll send it to Chris. So we were just talking about Farrakhan the other day, and he's back in the news already.
Oh, good.
What did Farrakhan say this time?
Well, let me tell you. So Iranian news sources have reported that Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan led a chant of death to America and death to Israel on a solidarity visit to Iran over the weekend. Video of Farrakhan's appearance circulated on social media. Here's just the snippet that people are showing.
اما بشنوید شعار مرگ بر آمریکای رهبر جنبش امت اسلام در آمریکا رو در روز استکبار ستیزی ملت ایران.
روز بعد و اسرائیل ملک بر
اسرائیل
ملک بر
Apparently saying death to Israel, death to America, and leading a bit of a chant there.
How do I know that's what he said?
I was going to say, does he know what he said?
Does he even know what he said?
Well, yeah, according to news outlets.
We can't jump to conclusions.
You're right. That was very unfair of me.
He could have been ordering lunch. We don't know. He was tricked into this. You know what I mean?
This is clickbait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A Jewish community newspaper based in the U.S. reported on Farrakhan's visit, citing reports in the Iranian media. Apparently, Farrakhan said, the United States and Israel are one of the most feared countries in the Islamic Republic of Iran. And if we do not resist them, we will leave nothing but death and destruction of our children. He then spoke.
I know I'm naive. I don't get the Israel obsession. I feel like, I don't know, they exist. Why is the world obsessed with Israel?
I think it's because it's so many cultures and religions' holy land that everybody just wants the piece of the genesis of how their culture started.
Israel is sort of this version of like, I don't know, it's like, everyone you talk to will go, oh, you got to go to Israel. And then I turn on the TV and then I think, I don't got to go to Israel. Right. I'll go to Maui.
Right.
And they go, oh, no.
Every picture I've ever seen has never made me say, I really want to go.
Anytime.
Why do they hold back on the pictures? Why do they choose those backgrounds? But I landed today. I was going through Instagram, and one of my boys is in Israel talking about it's truly the land of honey and something, he said. Honey and what? Honey and
milk and honey.
Milk and honey or something. And I'm like, that looks like just bricks and rocks behind you.
There are
dude.
A lot of bricks. A lot of bricks.
Whole Foods is the land of milk and honey.
Yeah.
Masada's cool. Dead Sea's cool.
I can't remember who was in here. There was a guy you're talking about, black.
Yeah.
I may know him. Because I had a black guy. I'm trying to think of who the guy came in on Take a Knee or something, and he was trying to tell me, go to Israel. You should go to Israel. And I keep thinking, why? I don't like places with walls around them, with neighboring people that are trying to kill them, and I don't want to be checking for bombs and trash cans. But I'm trying to think who was telling me.
It was Edger and James.
To go to Israel.
Was it really?
No.
It was not. I wish it was the Edge.
I will say, the same year I went to Israel and Greece. And going to a place that old, you really do feel like you're standing in the middle of history, like of a textbook. That is very cool.
When I get the impressions from the messages attached to the pictures from my friends, it's making me feel like that is like Freak Fest 2019.
Also possible.
You got to get there. And that's how the pictures are coming across. Nobody's ever said, oh, I found my inner
spiritual awakening.
Yeah. People are like, yo, like it's Brazil. Yo, you got to get, you've been to Jerusalem, son? You're like, We're cracking. Get there, son. I'm telling you, go to Israel, son.
Yeah, Israelis are infamously hot.
I got to figure out.
I'm telling you, that's what it is.
They're very attractive.
Gal Gadot, yeah.
And they have AK-47s.
I think we got your video here that you took from inside your car.
Oh, yeah. I took many, but this is the shortest because I know it's hard to send in here. But yeah, this is me. We're all stopped on Fairfax. This guy, there's just a lot of courtesy jogging.
Here he comes.
I didn't want them to see me, so at some point I'm kind of trying
to... Here he comes.
I was like, please don't land on my car.
Insane people down the street. That's basically L.A.
Yeah, always. And then way too many SUVs showed up, like five, to kind of just zip tie the dude.
Can I say this? We're now kind of at a time, like they're talking about like put a chip in your dog, you know, so you can be returned to the owner. We just need to put a chip in everybody.
Be nice.
And then we'll just scan it. And it's like, oh, this is a Johnson family from Plentywood, Montana. All right, put him on a bus. Like, hey, buddy, somewhere there's some parents that did a horrible.
This is Johnson?
Why is it? Why?
You
guys fucked.
You.
Someone got pregnant. Right. You shit this thing out. And now this thing's shitting on a sidewalk 2,000 miles away from where he was born. Let's just go get him and bring him back. And you got to deal with this shit. We'll give you a voucher for Home Depot and another one for Safeway or Costco or something, but you got to go
take him.
Where is this person from? Like, I want to scan the person. Look, at some point you go, well, look, who's responsible? Who's responsible? Well, the government doesn't do a fantastic job of taking care of problems, right? And especially someone else's problem, whatever it is, the junkie, the homeless, they're out on the street, whatever. We do a sort of warehousing at best, you know, give them a little stipend from the government, let them live in squalor in a project, give them a little government cheese. Like we'll do the bare minimum. At some point, this was somebody's 10-year-old.
Yeah.
This is somebody's 19-year-old.
Somebody's kid.
Somebody's picture of this kid at 9 is on somebody's refrigerator. Where is that person? What did they do? Where are they? Scan that barcode that we stick in their neck, put them on a Southwest flight, and go, here you go.
Right.
This is your son. This is your daughter. Fucking figure it out. They're living on the street. They're junkies, and they're defecating, and cops are chasing them around with green shotguns in their barefoot. Like, what's up?
Scaring news.
Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. What's going on?
Exactly.
Nana, Grandpa.
You lost something.
Do something. Yeah, you lost something. Here it is. We're
returning
your dog. My dad will
open the door and be like, damn, he found us.
I knew we should have put
you had to have help.
Yes. We covered this house in tinfoil so they couldn't find Finesse and return him, but I guess they figured it out.
Get the chip, they said, in case he's a kidnap, they said.
We dropped you off on the side of the road 7 states from us.
There's
no way you found your way back here.
At a certain point, we're going to have to just go, look, you're the biological parents of this creature that is sleeping on the street. What shall we do?
But then how many sane people would agree to let the government put a chip in you so we can always detect where you are? The cell phone is the chip.
That's true.
You know, but how many sane people like, and the conspiracy
are
theorists.
Logan's Run style.
Yeah. Like
I don't know.
That's every movie we've ever seen where they... How many,
when I
what
get
could
to
possibly
the,
go wrong?
When I go to that airport and it's got clear and they get to do the retinal scan thing,
it,
I'm like, oh, congratulations me.
Yeah, that is it, buddy. You are in the system for
life. So you
life.
Saw... Crazy homeless barefoot guy being chased by.
He was jogging people, by the way.
It was
a very light jog.
It was a light jog. And the weekend before, we were downtown and we saw a dude, and I kind of couldn't believe what I was seeing. I said there was no way he was actually doing that. And it was confirmed to me, yes, he was. There was a dude shitting in the curb downtown. And I said, he can't really be shitting. Until another homeless guy came up to him and said, are you shitting in the curb? So that's LA.
It was either Mean Joe. Oh, it was either Mean Joe Green,
who's shitting in the curb.
I didn't think it was him.
Who told me to go to Israel, or Eric Dickerson? I think it was Dickerson.
It was either one. They both went at the same time, so either one of them could.
Wow!
Have told you.
Wow!
Yeah.
And you know what they said? Adam. Adam.
That's right.
You got to go, son.
Dickerson had
you gotta
a
go, son.
A Jerry curl.
And he had a Jerry curl.
Protective son. He's wearing his protective
and he had
shades.
A Jerry curl.
And he told me, go to Israel.
He got love with the Jerry curl.
Mm.
You got curly hair, man.
I could do a jury curl, but I wouldn't. I got enough trouble at home, like with my pillow, and I just feel like it seems like so much work putting on the shower cap before you go to bed at night and stuff, and getting the relaxer.
You're on thin ice already with the top of your couch,
right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, the couch.
You seen the movie Coming to America?
Soldier, let it shine through.
He was a bad boy.
Oh, I love Dickerson. Now he was fast.
He was fast.
All right.
And tall. High
and
runner.
Tall. Yeah, ran with his knees super high.
Well, Ryan Reynolds has released a mock political ad attacking Hugh Jackman, just viciously. Ryan posted the 40-second parody on Twitter and tweeted, "How well do you really know Hugh Jackman?" The parody makes light of how Jackman is a front runner for the 2018 awards season.
You know what's great about winning marathons and being dudes? Ryan Reynolds did not have a lot of success, like great success, like crazy success in the first, 15 years of his career. Like he was doing movies like Van Wilder and stuff like that, but it wasn't hitting. It wasn't like landing. It was like going to be that guy. And then he got, then he turned 40 and started lighting the world on fire. With the ladies, you know, you guys coming second in the marathon. Mm-hmm. There's some more bad news. You don't normally get to go all through your 20s and 30s and not set the world on fire and then get in your 40s and just light it up.
As Fitzsimmons said on the show, you don't get that many bites at the apple. Ryan Reynolds got a lot until it hit. And that was a huge, massive success.
That's like me. SNL 2003, off SNL 2006. And success, B movies, C movies, and then not disappear, but in LA's eyes, I disappeared. Mm-hmm. And I was like, did I really disappear? And I thought to myself, yeah, I can't pay my mortgage. I disappeared.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, boom. It's like, Finesse, I see you here. I see you there. One comedy special, and then here I'm talking to Adam.
He walked into William Morris, actually.
Yeah. Showed up.
45
but men, you hit 40, and all of a sudden, your Morgan Freeman kicks in, and your next 25 years is where you're gonna should make some great money. But women,
sorry, ladies.
I feel great.
Where is Heather Locklear?
See,
yeah, she's not doing great. Well, no. here's this funny parody ad, and hope you enjoy it.
Let's do it.
Hugh Jackman's upcoming performance in The Frontrunner has fooled some people into thinking he deserves an award. But before voting begins, some people should consider these facts. Hugh Jackman isn't his real name. It's Hugh Michael Jackman. Hugh Michael speaks with a charming accent, but he's actually from Milwaukee. He then walked off the job on Wolverine, adding to unemployment. Is this the type of amazing actor and nice person we want delivering a preachy liberal speech this award season? Or maybe there's a real foreigner from a bordering country who would really love it a lot. Think before you vote, but definitely see The Frontrunner. I'm not Ryan Reynolds, and I approve this message.
That's funny.
That's funny.
Canadian Ryan Reynolds.
And a super nice guy. Yeah.
Frontrunner about Gary Hart.
Yep.
He plays Gary Hart.
So that's what that was?
Yeah, he's getting an upcoming movie directed by Jason Reitman playing Gary Hart for the 1988 election.
Man, that's pretty funny.
Monkey Business. Fair on the boat, Monkey Business.
Right. He sure did. Mm-hmm. And he was the frontrunner up until that point.
Mm-hmm. He was.
At least a Democratic ticket.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was just like that?
I don't know. I can't think of anyone.
Dean Edwards.
Front
John runner.
Edwards, yeah.
John Edwards.
Yep, that's right.
I said Dean Edwards. Yeah. Sorry, Dean.
No. Howard Dean Edwards.
Howard Dean Edwards.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Chris Cornell's widow has sued the late Soundgarden singer's doctor for malpractice for allegedly overprescribing drugs that eventually led to his 2017 suicide. Vicky Cornell's suit claims that Dr. Robert Coblin prescribed 940 doses of lorazepam, which is an anti-anxiety drug, and oxycodone during the last 20 months of his life without even examining Cornell.
That's the one, that's a combination that kills everyone, according to Dr. Drew. Those
oxycodone and lorazepam.
Well,
that class of drugs.
Basically, I'm taking this for my back pain and I'm taking this to help me go to bed or calm me down. It's that combo that seems to screw everyone up.
Well,
and I think that's a Heath Ledger thing. I think a lot of these deaths. And what's his name? The other fine actor?
Prince, Michael
Philip
Jackson.
Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, Mike. Well,
oh, Philip Seymour Hoffman, yeah.
Yeah, Philip Seymour Hoffman and a Prince thing. I think it's that combo of those two that puts everyone down.
Yeah.
Because you can be on 100 OxyContin a day habit for 5 years and you don't die. Mm-hmm. This one combo is what seems to screw everyone up.
Right.
All right.
Well, TMZ reports that the suit states Cornell was a known addiction-prone individual and that his therapist for substance abuse referred him to Dr. Culbin in 2004, so the doctor knew Cornell was an addict. The lawsuit claims that lorazepam increases the risk of suicide in addiction-prone people by impairing judgment and rational thinking. Now, James Kjar, he's the attorney for Dr. Culbin. He's commented on the lawsuit in a statement. He, not surprisingly, defends the appropriateness of what Culbin did. He said, Dr. Culbin is a competent and conscientious doctor who enjoyed an excellent physician-patient relationship with Mr. Cornell and other members of the family.
Oh, did he hang himself? Oh, he hung himself, right?
Is that
hanged himself?
I don't remember.
After the show that night.
I think he hanged himself.
You might be right. Mm.
Also, I've always said, God, it seems hard to do. But then also when you're jacked out of your mind, like you're beaked out of your mind.
Yeah, it takes
doing
some coordination.
That,
hanging, he says.
Yeah, sad.
That's also a gene.
The
addiction
suicide.
Gene?
Oh, yeah.
Of course, absolutely.
It's a huge gene in our DNA that some people have that's just dominant in their body. Versus some people can take a drink or a toke or something, and they're like, I'm good. I mean, yep. I did it.
Oh,
that was like 6 years ago when I tried that. Like, but other people are like, oh, let me try that one more time. Oh, let me. Yeah. Where did you get that?
I was talking to Dr. Drew about this. Like he said, talking about sort of crazies. He'll always tell you, like, the survivors are the alcoholics, like the guys leading the charges in war and stuff like that. Those are all the alcoholics. Like, so the alcoholic gene is like the battle gene. He said, we take this country and you think about who came here. People from other places who would get on a boat for 4 months and roll the dice got here. That's the alcoholic gene.
Trying to get to the
gene.
University of Miami.
That's the alcoholic gene. And then whoever the ones who said, I'm going to get on wagons now and go out west.
Just see
and
what's
battle
out there.
With Indians on the way. That's super. Now you're taking the group of alcoholics and taking the super alcoholics out of those guys, the thrill seekers.
Right.
And sending them out west. So it's no wonder everyone in the western states is fucking nuts.
There weren't nesters.
No.
Right.
No.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's one way to put it.
So, Finesse, your great-great-great grandfather was an alcoholic who came to this country.
Absolutely.
Now, let me finish.
Hold on.
He was actually already here, but go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Native American. But go ahead.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I made that up.
Oh. Well, you were Seminole. Yeah. No, I mean hurricane. Sorry. Yeah. That didn't work.
Don't make that mistake.
Wouldn't it be better if there were another tribe instead of fighting a natural disaster? You could have fought another tribe.
I don't know, right?
There are plenty of tribes to choose from.
Right, the Illini?
Could have fought the Illini.
It could have been the Cherokees.
Oh, that's right.
Could have been the Creeks.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been the Miccosukees.
Oh.
I'm naming places and cities that all have casinos.
We thought he was a scholar. That's now really we realize good. He's...
The Pechangas, the Morongos.
He's addicted to electronic poker. Went from scholar of Native American
degenerate.
I was impressing people for 3 minutes.
Right.
They studied up.
Well, here's something creepy. Construction workers renovating... Actually, Adam... I've never heard you say anything like this. Wondering if anything like this has ever happened to you in construction. Construction workers renovating an old building in Georgia braced themselves last week after cracking open a wall to discover an estimated 1,000 human teeth fallout.
Wow.
The workers who are renovating the Converse building in the city's downtown area found the teeth after knocking out a wall on the building's second floor. While it's unclear why the teeth were in there, a researcher for the county said the building was once occupied by a dentist named Clarence Whittington in 1900. The building was then occupied by a different dentist in the 30s. They say they don't know if keeping teeth was common practice by dentists, but they found literally 1,000 of them. Have you ever found anything insane in a wall during rehab?
I've torn apart a million houses, and you will find these weird little gifts or offerings or something that the old Irish alcoholic dude in the 30s like just put in the wall. Like sometimes they'll just write on a 2x4 or something. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they'll take like all the times it'll be a bottle. like, you know, booze bottle. Yeah. And sometimes it'll be like just a newspaper or something. But they will leave these little forget-me-nots. Like, in, I've torn apart houses around here, like from the 20s, from the 30s. And you find these little Easter eggs in there put in there. I know, but it's not because you go, what? And then you go, oh, everyone's dead. Yeah. And then the problem with the everyone's dead math is you go, oh, one day there'll be a guy tearing this shit apart thinking that about me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sad.
But I never found any teeth. I would not like to find teeth.
Yeah. Teeth is more disturbing than like a femur, you know, single. Yeah. Teeth is just creepy.
Dentist/ Sadist. Serial killers that nobody even found, and they got bored. They got tired. Like, how many teeth do we have to pull out before people realize what we're doing?
Yeah.
Nobody ever figured it out. I can never figure out who wants to be a dentist. Like, I cannot. It's like you got some money, you got some brains, somebody's putting you through school. You're certainly a good student. Like, couldn't you be? You could easily be a chiropractor or a general physician, or like, why the dentist?
Do you think, what percentage of dentists do you think went into it with a passion for dentistry?
Or just the family biz.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or, you know, you're smart and you can, you know,
I don't know, but just the family biz, if your dad has unfinished furniture, you get to go into that business. But it doesn't take 13 years of schooling to get into that family biz. Right. Like, who would want... It's everyone's worst day. Mm-hmm. Everyone is showing up, like, dreading you.
No one's looking forward to it.
Then you have to find it's very intimate. Like, you have to really get up in people's stuff. And then there's that part where... One of your jack-off buddies goes, hey, we're going down to Guatemala. I'm a dentist without borders, you know? And you go, fuck. And then you're signed up, and now you got to go out there, and there's people haven't been, you know, this guy's 61 years old. He's never been to a dentist in his life. He chews on sugar cane every night and falls asleep with it. And you got to get up in there and start, like.
Yeah.
I never thought about that, but I wouldn't do it. One of my best friends is a dentist. Went to Meharry. He's killing it in Atlanta.
Can you text him and ask him why?
I'm going to say, why teeth? I never thought to ask him that.
Well, dentistry or proctology?
Because his family is, you know.
I like proctology.
Who doesn't?
I feel like at least the asshole isn't trying to talk to you. Do you know what I mean? Like, dentist is, I do, I have fucking dentists where I'm like, you know, laying back, and they'll go, oh, hey, have you been using the water pick? And they're like, yeah, is that a wax floss? You use it? And it's like, or sometimes I go, hey, man shower. Like, Jimmy Kimmel's here. And it's kind of weird.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know the famous, sweet.
You texted
I want to know.
Great, we'll find out before the show, though. You know the famous song from Little Shop of Horrors where Steve Martin does the dentist song, of course.
Right.
This very sadistic dentist song. Everyone can go Google that and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, Def Leppard continues to hold on to the top spot in the fan vote for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's class of 2019 and have increased their lead over second place now, Stevie Nicks, to more than 50,000 votes.
Long overdue.
Mm-hmm. You big Def
Pour
Leppard fan?
Some sugar on me. All the black kids had to watch Night Tracks on TBS growing up because that was the only video show. If you didn't have cable, you couldn't get MTV, so we had to watch Night Tracks. And Def Leppard had number one video. You only get to see Def Leppard, Bon Jovi, Donna Summer, and David Bowie. Them the only people with videos.
So many options.
Like a quad.
We have video shows. One more thing I'm going to try to explain to my kids. Like, we after school, they'd have like Richard Blades video countdown or whatever, and he'd just be standing there playing Blondie videos and stuff, and he'd just sit there and watch. And it was more like, it was never like, you didn't care about the theme of the video. Yeah. I just sit and watch and go, God, that person's having a good fucking time, and I'm miserable. Like, they must have food on that set.
I never watched a ZZ Top video that made sense, but I was just like, they are so cool.
Yeah, the legs video's
cool.
The best.
Cool cars, they're standing there. Yeah, like, I would more think about what the life of the band was who was shooting the video versus actually just watching the video.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Did you think someday I'm going to paint that cyclorama?
I ended up working on the stage at A&M Records where they shot all those videos, or half of those videos. And
I worked for Luke Records.
Different, you did?
Yeah. Two Live Crew.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That was my college intern job when I was in Miami.
If I could find Max Pata, if you could find, I don't know, Ted... Let's see, Koppel, who's the news?
I think it was Sam Donaldson. Is he this Ted Koppler's in Balance?
Oh. It was like one of those guys, but the greatest moment of my life, and I was in like 1985, I remember for some reason at my grandparents' house, and Ted Koppel was like, and out of Dade County, rap group, Two Live Crew has been arrested for lewd acts on stage. Of course, they're known for their popular song, Me So Horny. I remember just going, I love that they just read the teleprompter. But listen, you could just say popular rap group out of Dade County. You don't have to have the Me. Don't make him say. Right. Make him say. But he said it, and it made me laugh my fucking ass off. And I was like, that's where in my mind I invented TiVo in 1985. If only there was a magical box that could capture this and I could replay it over.
So horny.
So
good button
at the height of, you know, these guys' 80s newscaster powers with the cadence and everything. Mm-hmm. Me so horny. But I guess whoever just wrote the copy just went, mm-hmm. Oh, there's a band. Yeah. There's with the, you know, the for the song, and they're on the beach with the chicks and the ass. And
that's what that took down Ron Burgundy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. That's He'll read anything.
He'll read anything.
You know, by the way, like, things were thin in the porn department when you'd look at a record cover like Two Live Crew, or
you could use that
before then you could use it. Ohio Players. Do you guys remember the Ohio Players?
Remember the band? Yeah, mm-hmm. Love Roller Coaster and all that.
The Ohio Fire. It was their song. They Ohio Players famously always had a hot chick.
Okay.
On there, if you could find some like Ohio Players cover art, they were always like kind. Oh, the internet is screwed up. All right. Well, hopefully the internet will crack. But that was kind of the Ohio Players. Their thing was, we put hot chicks on our covers, and that was better than nothing to a young Adam Carolla.
Yep.
All right. I mean, is it worth looking them up right now?
Yeah, go ahead and look it up. I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. Heat, fire, heat, friction, fire, viscosity breakdown, rob your engine of maximum performance. Friction results in a loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to get stronger under pressure, helps fight friction and deliver maximum levels of performance from your car. Three times,
fool!
Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. Castrol Edge, unlock the true performance in your car's engine.
Boom.
Boom.
You know who I thought had the hot
show
girls?
That to Finesse. That's
let me see.
Hot chick. I mean,
ooh.
Hot chick, naked.
Unnecessary. It doesn't really fit with the theme of the cover.
It's just
clothed men in
necessary.
Tuxes and a naked chick.
The Ohio Players, their record covers always had a hot, naked
Mr. Mean
chick
the album.
On the cover, and that was good enough.
Mm-hmm. You know who had who was really like the young 10 to 14 year old champion back in rock and roll music with the women? David Lee Roth.
Of course, oh, absolutely. Diamond
those
Dave.
Videos.
Absolutely.
You would just be like, ah, I want to be white so bad. I want to be a rock and roll star. I want to wear spandex and parachute pants and be flexible.
Yeah. Karate kicks in the air.
Karate kicks. I want to be
down
that
the boardwalk.
When he started doing solo stuff, California Girls and all that
nonsense,
he pulled all the stops.
Yeah.
Just a gigolo.
No more of the band.
Another lot. A notch.
That's
the
true.
Best. I mean, when he was doing that like parody video with Cyndi Lauper and I don't know, Prince or whoever
he had a great mind.
Was Billy Idol or whatever. It was just, that was a funny video.
Mm-hmm.
The Dave TV or whatever, whatever it was.
Shout out to Missy Elliott, just because.
Now I don't have to do it.
Go ahead.
Normally, at the end of the show.
Normally, we do it at the end of the show. Oh, but if you want to jump in and shout out to Missy Elliott, David Lee Roth, would it be better if he died in a plane crash in 1993?
Sadly, yes.
Okay.
To solidify his status.
There are a number of people. There are a number of people, I think, who did die at young age. I think they benefited greatly from passing away early. Like, would we think of John Lennon with the same religious reverence that you know we do now? Like, imagine face everywhere, or just be a cranky old man.
Mm. Right.
I don't like to think of Buddy Holly or Richie Valens that way.
Yeah.
But it'd be weird. Like, yeah, see, like you'd have to watch like James Dean going like, hey, did you get a DUI? Let me introduce Miles Berman, Top Gun attorney, DUI. If you've got a DUI, like a fat, bloated, 71-year-old James Dean, like doing just
diabetes,
couple divorces, needs a gig.
Yeah. Huh? Marilyn Monroe, like doing TV movies.
Yeah.
Lifetime.
Like, it's tragic when anyone dies, but some people's image. Like, Jim Morrison, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Their lasting image is helped greatly by the fact they died young.
But we don't know. Maybe they would have kept it together, like, I don't know, Roger Daltrey or
Paul McCartney.
You know, Paul McCartney.
Right.
But we should get a list together of guys who should have died.
Black. Yeah.
So we are quiet.
I'm going to say Bill Cosby.
A good black person who died early.
I'll say Bill Cosby should have died early.
I would say, not he didn't.
It would have helped his legacy quite a bit.
No.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
No, he should have died.
No. A bit.
No.
Well, it's pretty tarnished at this point.
Bill did way too much.
Oh, I got the ultimate example.
He did way too much and brought so, if he would have died early.
Like a better
no Fat Albert.
Well, no, early. She means stuff. Like 9 months ago.
Pre the trial.
Oh, pre trial. Oh, yeah.
O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
O.J. Simpson.
Yeah.
Still one of the anybody slice it. One of the all-time greats ever touched the field.
But right after course, Nordberg.
You know, all you think about is, exactly. Post-Nordberg. Yeah.
Natural speed.
Music people, give me one.
I'm drawing a blank. We need a really iconic black person that died early.
A lot of us die.
Tupac, obviously.
Okay.
Biggie. What's wrong with us?
Yeah. What's wrong with us?
No, well, Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
Sam Cooke was...
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye.
This is embarrassing for us.
You are.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
God.
Marvin Gaye joke. His last words. He was shot by his dad. Yeah. His last words. What's going on? Because your dad's fucking holding a gun in your underwear. You got to be asked. That's got to be the last thing out of your mouth.
That's good.
His dad was like a cross-dressing reverend or something who killed his son in his house and like didn't end up doing a lot of time.
That's would Chuck Berry have benefited from dying young?
Oh, pre the tapes getting out,
but then he kind of came back or something. I don't know.
Chuck Berry's largely unscathed.
He kind of, we gave him a cultural
Richard.
Pass
Chuck's
on
Chuck.
That
Lil
one.
Richard's still alive.
Oh.
All right. Well, speaking of all these iconic rock stars and musicians, Steven Tyler, now an ordained minister.
Should have died 20 years ago.
Come on, Brian. He says he did it online for $80. He recently officiated his son's wedding, his entourage. And when a TMZ reporter mentioned that he's getting married in a few months, Tyler said he'd preside over the nuptials for $200,000. Tyler also mentioned that he and Mick Fleetwood, who is also ordained, are going to just start marrying people. The two are neighbors in Maui. How much would you pay to have Steven Tyler and Mick Fleetwood officiate your wedding?
Mick Fleetwood told me a great story once. He lived in Malibu. Malibu, we're due. Like every 6.5 years, a fire just blows through Malibu and takes us all out. And everyone kind of, it's always funny because it's like, what happened? Oh, man, Courtney Cox's house burnt down and Barbara Streisand's. And we all go, well, I'm sure they're doing fine. We love it when rich people's houses burn down. It's kind of like, you shouldn't live in Malibu. Like, it's great. We turn
all the landslides.
It's us at our worst. And then the landslides come the next year. When I was a carpenter, I built some custom houses in Malibu and have been by them after you built them. And there's nothing but the outline of the footing of the foundation just literally just burnt down. But I remember talking to Mick Fleetwood a million years ago about it, and he said, those fires were like blowing through. And he said he took everything he had that had some value to it, all the electric guitars and all the memorabilia and everything. He said, I threw it in the swimming pool.
Smart.
But then the fire missed my house. Trish's drum kit and all the guitars and all the shit out of his swimming pool.
In the moment.
It was smart in the moment, right?
He tried.
He tried,
Did you do carpentry before comedy or at the same time?
I did.
Because I heard you keep saying I built 1,000 houses.
I built to support myself from like zero to from the time I walked on at LA Junior College to play football. I was in the profession from probably like 19 to when I met Jimmy Kimmel when I was 30. I'd do open mics and improv stuff and groundlings classes, but I could never support myself. Uh-huh. And then when I met Jimmy, I had this little transition where I was actually starting to make money in comedy, and then, but I still had to be a carpenter. Mm-hmm. So I started doing stuff like I rebuilt the studios at K-Rock, mm-hmm. and I built all the shelves for all the carts that go into, and I built all the lockers for like the jocks, and I built over at Kevin and Bean. I built Bean. I went out to his house and built them like racks for his records and blah blah blah.
Custom
stuff. Yeah. So it was this time when I was like in comedy, doing mm-hmm. radio, getting paid like $50 a bit, and then doing carpentry for like people around, but I wasn't going to the job site like going to Malibu. It's like get there at 7, work right. all day, punch out at 3:30 or 4, sit in traffic, go back to your piece of shit in North Hollywood. Mm. The tough part is when you're working on like a custom house in Malibu, mm. but you're in a custom piece of shit in North Hollywood, and you have to get in your pickup truck and just go back to your shitty apartment.
Mm. Stark contrast.
Yeah, mm. yeah. So it was a while, but those right. places would just burn down, and we're kind of overdue
for a couple things.
For an earthquake and, as yeah. well. But now they're getting pretty crazy about like putting sprinkler systems and everything. I built that. We'll look it up one of these days. I built a house off of Rambla Pacifica up there. It's a street that's been closed for like 25 years off of PCA.
Was this a stilts house?
No, it was on the side of a hill, but it wasn't a stilts house, but it was like overlooking like kind of Pepperdine, and like the wife was hot, and the husband was rich, and the kids were cool, and I was like, God damn. And the only good part about, I mean, not the only good part, there's this weird thing when you're building and you're up in the hills and you're somewhere, you can't go to Taco Bell for lunch. Like people can't make runs because mm-hmm. you're up the top of Malibu. Yeah. There's no make a run down to it. There's no Taco Bell on PCH.
Not in the Palisades.
There's nothing going on. So then you'd have to pack your own lunch. And I was like a bachelor. And I would always be like, oh, fuck, hard-boiled egg and a box of raisins. And I'd sit, and there were a couple of dudes that were married, and they had the thermosy thing with the stew in it, and I'd just be sitting next to them going, fuck.
Yeah, didn't you have like somebody some dry loves cereal?
Them. Yeah, I just, yeah. I was the off. Worst. Yeah.
Somebody
I
loves them.
It's when you would pack your lunch like you were going to die before lunchtime. Like I'd be like, I'll be fine with a handful of generic granola and a carrot stick. And then lunch would come around, and you go, fuck, what did I do? This sucks.
Right.
And there was no lunch trucks or anything going up the hill there.
Yeah.
All right, let's do one more.
Sad days.
All right.
Well, here's one. The news always talks about put your phone down and put your tablet down if your kid's in the room, and maybe talk to them a little bit. Well, a new study shows dogs may become more anxious and possibly suffer from depression when their owners overuse their smartphones. Philadelphia veterinarian Dr. Alexander Collada said he's seen the effects of smartphone usage on pets, and dogs are very good at reading subtle cues. He stated dogs really do read body language. They read our eye contact. They read our facial expressions. So if we're on our phone and acting disinterested, and they're looking for attention, it's ignoring your dog, and they get very depressed.
They get depressed.
That's all why right. Phil's always
look.
Like,
I'm glad we're
sad.
I disagree with all that.
I'm glad we're out of problems. This is just another one of those we're out of problems things. My dog has a much better life than I do.
Whether you're on your phone or not,
right?
No doubt about it. What's this doctor's name?
Alexander Collada.
If his wife isn't named Rita, he is fucking leaving money on the table. Mm-hmm. That's got to be not since Elaine LaLanne married Jack LaLanne.
Yeah.
Rita Collada would just be like the greatest name. Right? Just be perfect.
Yeah.
Everyone would instantly like her.
Yeah.
And people just
life
go,
the party.
I don't even know why. I don't know.
Rita Collada.
Want another frothy drink? All right. See if you can find his name.
Alexander Collada's wife. Good luck.
Yeah. Is our internet working again?
It's been down for a while.
He's doing it on the phone.
Oh, man.
You can still kind of do it on the
phone. Why is it down so much? What goes on?
Y'all still in Wi-Fi?
Is that us?
Next door.
Somebody said,
yeah, we call the other shop. Theirs is down too.
People tweet me all the time and go, "Oh, you got to shut your system and like reboot it, and you ought to get off the." They don't know what's going on.
I mean, yeah, there's no. I just called our internet service provider, and they said there's an outage in the area. They're working on it. They'll let us know when it's back.
There's really nothing.
Nothing we can do here.
All right. All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
That was the news.
It's a new soundbite.
Gina Grad.
Simply Safe. Told you about these guys. Exactly what home security should be. Ridiculously easy to use. No hidden fees, no pricey contracts. You go to simplysafe.com/Adam. And betonline.ag. Sportsnet Challenge. So much fun. If you want to get involved, you can do that as well. Join the betonline.ag. Pick them, and you could win $25,000. Use the code podcast1. Receive a 50% welcome bonus. I need your help making picks for me. And I'm going to give five of you $100 in credit at betonline.ag. Brian, how you doing?
I don't think you do need their help making picks because someone went 5 for 5 this week.
What?
It was me.
Oh.
No, we both did. Hey, up top.
Yeah.
5 for 5, both of us. We both picked the Bears, Panthers, and Chiefs. I picked the Vikings and Patriots. You picked the Falcons and Chargers. Winners all around. The good news is I believe we both get to pick, or five people can win or just get $100 each from us winning. So follow our tweets. Check us out at Bob Ryan, Adam Carolla, and check out the standings at podcast1sportsnet.com.
Go Falcons.
Thank you. Go Falcons. All right. You can go to adamcarolla.com. You want to find anything you need. You can check out Vanessa's special on Showtime and Showtime Anytime. Website, finessemitchell.tv. You can find out where he's playing and what he's up to and all that.
I never update my website. Pleasanton, Tommy T's, November 16th through the 18th. And Atlanta, I'm coming home finally, November 29th through December 1st at the Atlanta Comedy Theater. And I'm on Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
The Tonight Show. Damn.
The Lesser Jimmy.
The Lesser Jimmy on Friday. So y'all tune in. If y'all like that little 4-minute set, then go watch my comedy special, Spirit Told Me to Tell You.
So until next time, Adam Carolla for Finesse Mitchell, Gina Grad, and Bob Ryan saying mahalo.
I want to be white so bad.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail if you like it. 888-634-1744. And subscribe to Take an E for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. Subscribe to Fantasy BS, hosted by Bald Brian and Sonny Carolla on Podcast One. And remember to come out to the Grove of Anaheim, November 30th, live podcast with Rob Riggle. For tickets and info on all the live podcasts, Mangry events, books, movies, and more, go to adamcarolla.com. And now, stay tuned for Good Sports.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Dameshek here. Adam Carolla over there. We're chopping up the world of pro football, sports in general, and the game of life. Check out the Dave Dameshek football program. We do much of the same over there as well, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. But of course, the key ingredient here, Adam Carolla. Ace, how are you?
I'm doing well and excited because Dylan has done his due diligence. And we were talking last week about the Friends and how we talk about famous cocksmen and guys, Lotharios, and the guys that bedded all the ladies and the usual George Clooney's and the Scott Baio's and all these names kind of come up. But as a group, male and female, who's done more damage in this town of Hollywood? I say you can't do better than the cast of Friends.
I know, it's a sad statement, but I think you're, I mean, just based on, you know, who they are.
Well, Jennifer Aniston, like, just on the female side, has famously been with a bunch of famous
We're gender
dudes.
Agnostic here, right.
That's
you're not
right.
talking about Coxman properly. We're talking about those who've bedded many, period.
I'm talking about Courtney Coxman.
Carrie behind the glasses applauding. He liked that one so much.
So I told Dylan to sort of treat it like the, you know, the tree of life. We had to kind of figure out, like when they do the family trees and the coaching pyramids, like you talk about, like who's done what with whom and how it broke down. And boy, this thing just keeps going over here.
All right. So here we go. The Friends cast manager. I mean, I had a hunch that was the real ringer. It's not Jen Aniston or Courtney Cox. Nay, it's Chandler Bing himself, Matthew Perry, who's done the most damage in the business of show.
Wouldn't have seen that one coming.
I had a hunch because I've heard tale of him running around town. He's out and about periodically.
All right. So we start with Jennifer Aniston, famously Adam Duritz, Counting Crows, but also Courtney Cox. And again, no better show to watch in syndication for Adam Duritz than Friends, right?
Agreed. And they've shared lovers, too. They're still friends. I don't know about that. I can't imagine, Ace, if you and I had shared a lover, how that might impact our relationship.
Well, I've taken many lovers over the years. People say taken many lovers.
It makes it. You know what I found in my life? As you know, I like to use the outdated colloquialisms. It allows you more room. You can tell if you talk dirty, if you work baldly blue and you're using the wrong language, if you talk like you're from the 50s, it's okay. You get away with more.
So I've taken many lovers, and I've introduced many
You've
of my
bedded
lady,
them?
I've bedded and taken many lovers, and I've also introduced many of my lady friends to David. Lady friends. I love that. I hope I get to the station in life one day where I can introduce someone as my lady friend. Because that means I'm significantly older
That's right.
and richer than anyone else at the table.
It's also creepy. Old guys do this when they're with young women. They introduce them as their friends. This is a friend of mine.
So Jennifer Aniston, and again, if you're Adam Duritz, who's a delight, he was on the show from Counting Crows, you have to love sitting around watching when Friends pops up, especially if one of your buddies is like sitting on the sofa next to you and having a beer, and you're like, oh, I banged too. And then he goes, the friend would go, which one? You go, oh, no, the 2 10s, not the 7. I mean, obviously, it's unspoken. I could have. Obviously, if you got the 2 10s, you could have got the 7.
But
why?
I
started with the 2 10s, and then I moved on. So Aniston.
Wait a second. Look at who's on number 4 on Aniston's list.
Matthew Perry?
I had no idea this. On set romance.
Justin Theroux, Tate Donovan. So Matthew Perry, Brad Pitt. All right. So that's a good. A
lot of range there, too.
Murderer's Row of Peni.
Pitt and Theroux are handsome devils.
Then you got, what's weird is I was at a Kimmel like Christmas party or something, a birthday party or something. I've talked to those two for half an hour. They were a delight. And then like the next day, they were broken up.
Who?
Pitt. Sorry. That'd be Theroux, Justin Theroux, and Jennifer Aniston. They just, I was at a party on a Saturday night, and on Monday it was like they're broken up or they're getting divorced or whatever it is. Courtney Cox has Adam Duritz, and by the way, this is stuff that Dylan found online. I cannot tell you. We'll just assume it's true, and I think it is. Courtney Cox, Adam
if
Duritz,
it's online, it has to be true.
Christian Slater, Ed Norton, Ian Copeland, Kevin Costner. Oh,
what?
Yes, I'll vouch for him.
Wait a second, Courtney Cox was with Kevin Costner?
Why?
That seems weird.
First off, they both love alliteration. Maybe they weren't even attracted to each other.
No, just we have a lot in common.
Yeah. Michael Keaton, David Arquette, famously. Lisa Kudrow.
But wait a second. Costner and Keaton are both 20 years her elder, aren't they? Well, I mean, I guess that's not unheard of in the world.
When Courtney Cox is 26 and Costner's 44 and in the height of his powers, see how that works.
Sure.
Lisa Kudrow, Lisa Kudrow's a funny one. I remember her from The Groundlings.
Is that right?
Yes. As a matter of fact, one of my friends, who's sadly now deceased, was, I think they were boyfriend, girlfriend for a while. Lisa Kudrow physically transformed herself, and Dylan can try to verify this. When I was at the Groundlings, Lisa Kudrow was sort of flat-chested, may have had a pre-nose job, I don't know, had sort of thick, almost frizzy hair, like thick hair, a little bit hippie, and had a kind of a frumpy Jewish gal look. Like, was not blonde, was not thin, did not have the boobs. Like, it was a complete and utterly transformed herself. I knew her as like a different person. Still funny, as incredibly talented, but physically did not look like Phoebe at all.
How funny is that? That must have been weird. Did it trip you up for a second? Like, well, that can't be the same that I was in the Groundlings with. But wait a second. Sounds the same.
There's probably pictures of her, like, from back in the day. Michael Stern, Conan O'Brien, Vic Wilson. Well, that's the name of the guy who passed away, who was a
That's Lisa Kudrow right there?
We're looking at a picture of a person that if I showed...
Literally... you could say this is somebody who is famous, you have an hour, and if you can guess which famous person this is, I will give you $5,000. I would walk out without the $5,000.
You could also find people that were huge Friends fans, but not tell them this is a cast member.
I'm going to play
just
that
find
game
that and ask them who that is.
Gary, take to the streets, show that, see if anybody can get that right. That's a good bit for the streets.
We were just talking last episode about cheating. It's cheating. I mean, the people like look, you know, I'm past my prime, but I was an 8 when I was in shape, but that's no braces, no nose job, no calf implants, no teeth whitening, no nothing. No nothing. If you're going to get boob jobs and nose jobs and hair bleached and all such stuff, well, obviously you're going to go way up the chain. It's kind of...
You're so right. We'll continue unfair with this. We got to continue with this on the Wednesday episode because we're running short on time for this Good Sports. It does remind me, though, Ace, I just watched Nighthawks, in which Rutger Hauer gets plastic surgery and is transformed in that as a terrorist. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the rest of the Friends list here.
Yeah. Oh,
tell
my
us
God.
More, Ace.
Wait a minute. Matt LeBlanc and Schwimmer once again went in
what?
On the same gal.
I don't know about this behavior.
This is great. And stick around for Matthew Perry as well. This is unbelievable. It's also weird that my friend Vic Wilson is on this list. There's a guy I was talking about. It was a friend of mine from the Groundlings who dated Lisa back in the day. All right. And just to show you, by the way, Damashek, I do not use hyperbole. When I say somebody transformed themselves completely, I'm talking about Lisa
Kudrow. I was ready to be like, all right, I can see it. That is legitimately an unrecognizable human being you just showed me there.
From Lisa Kudrow, right, as the one that you know today. Did she have a boob job? We'll try to figure that one out as well. First, I'll tell you about BetOnline, betonline.ag. We've reached midway point in the NFL and college football season. Each game becomes that much more important. NFL, the Rams, the Saints, the Chiefs, and Patriots emerging as the teams to beat. It's getting exciting. College football, Alabama's clearly the best team in the country once again. There's only one place to get in on all the action. BetOnline.ag. Don't wait. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for 50%. Sign-up bonus. That's podcast one. You get the 50% sign-up bonus, betonline.ag. Use that promo code and get in on some of the action. Have some fun with these games. Promo code podcast one, 50% worth a sign-up bonus. Your online sportsbook expert, exclusive partner, Podcast One, Sportsnet, betonline.ag. All right.
That's a wrap on today's Good Sports. More on this friends list to come for you tomorrow. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, that's it for Good Sports. And stick around for the AP News. Good Sports.
Engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.